A reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table for me right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live.
So we began our worship service this morning mixing the tradition of an old hymn with a favorite and one of the best known contemporary songs. If you ask a room full of folks to list their favorite hymns, I guarantee you that How Great Thou Art is usually at the top of the list. In addition to the memories of this song from our various church backgrounds, it's the most used hymn for funerals. And so you, like me, might recall the comfort of How Great Thou Art. It was my daddy's favorite hymn, and we sang it at his celebration of life service. And then, Shout to the Lord reminds us that God is always by our side all of our days. And every time we sing it here, I look into the church family and I see some with eyes closed, some with hands raised, as we promise to never cease to worship our Creator. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, when we honor one another by singing together an old hymn and a contemporary song. It's one of our goals here at Bluegrass that everyone gets a turn, including the music we sing. Thank you. Thank you, church, for blessing me this morning with your singing. It is balm for a weary soul. It uplifts me and inspires me to hear you sing. This can happen in Scripture, I think, especially particular Scriptures that are used to bring promise and comfort from God, our Creator. Psalm 23 is one such story. And it is the most common Scripture used at funerals or graveside services. Today, as we reflect on the 23rd Psalm, I wonder if we might claim new insights from this trusted old friend. For many, and perhaps for some of us, the 23rd Psalm is a favorite passage of Scripture. There seems to be something about its simplicity, its connection with nature that touches us all, yet it's so special that its depth of meaning is never exhausted. Now, if you've been here for the past 6 weeks, you know we've been reflecting on questions posed by Dr. James Ryan's book, Wait, What? And Life's Other Essential Questions. Dr. Ryan listed 5 questions, and we've asked them of ourselves. So if you haven't been with us, I'll bring you into the story. The first week, we asked the question, what truly matters? In other words, are we committing our time, energy, and resources to the things that we claim matter the most to us? And then we went into, wait, what? A question that invites us to pause, to wait before we respond or react to a given situation, to seek first to understand and then to be understood. We followed with a week of reflecting on, I wonder. Wondering why, what, when, and how. Remaining hopeful about the possibilities for our lives, our church, our communities, indeed our world. And then a tough week for me was the week where we asked, couldn't we at least try? Couldn't we at least try to listen? To meet one another where we are that offers some mediation across our differences of politics, theology, religion, and priorities. Then last week we called upon ourselves to ask the important question of others. How can I help? Dr. Ryan concludes his book with a bonus question, and the one which he says believes that he believes might be the most important, and it is this. And did you get what you wanted out of life, even so? in the excerpt of the book I've yet to read, but I'll be reading it this week because, as I told you, I'm waiting till we finish to see if how I saw the questions or how he invites us to see them. But he pulls this last question from Raymond Carver's poem, Late Fragment. And he says that this final bonus question is likely to be the most important question any of us will face. I can agree. Because this final question, does it not, reminds us that life often does not turn out the way we thought or planned. We know that dreams get shattered. We experience that illness derails our plans, that relationships become difficult and sometimes unresolved or irreconcilable. And we know that the sting of death leaves us with grief we spend a lifetime managing. And yet, the even so ending to this final question captures both the pain and disappointment of life and the hope nested in the possibility of joy and contentment. And so, after reading this final question, my mind immediately went to Psalm 23. For this aged scripture friend, we find much of the same. The reality of pain, fear, and life challenges, and the assurance of God's presence every step of our way. These words from Psalm 23, ascribed to David some 3,000 years ago, still speak with clarity and power about the human drama and the search for God. Yeah, friends, we live in a world of technology and computers and lots of busyness. And Psalm was written for a rural, agricultural, tribal culture. And yet there's something about the symbolism and imagery of a shepherd caring and providing for his flock that nurtures us to this day. The need for love and companionship, for care, are needed in every generation. To the first listeners, hearing that God was like a shepherd was so comforting to them. Knowing that although the world around them was full of violence and oppression, rest can be found in God's embrace. So in this beloved psalm, we're reminded that sometimes the very best thing we can do is to just be. To rest, to listen, and to trust that even when, no, especially when we're weary from our life, from our call, God invites us to seek a respite from all that distracts or seeks to diminish our life. On our bulletin this morning was a quote that you might give some thought to. I was talking to someone this week, and I said, paraphrase the quote, surround yourself with noise that affirms and celebrates you. God leads us not just to lie down, and not just to any grassy knoll, but in tender grass, in green pastures. I talk to you a lot about how the message is often in the tiny details. The scripture says, he leads me to green pastures. The reason the scripture speaks of tender grass is in green pastures is that some grass is inferior to other grass. There's some grass that make goat sick and sheep sick. There's other grass that's called goat grass that will really make the sheep sick, can possibly kill them. But a good shepherd leads his sheep only to the best grass. And so it is with us. In our uniqueness of gifts and diversity of life, God knows our needs, and if we're willing to allow it, God will lead us to green pastures, the pastures that are good for us. And God will lead us to still waters. That's sort of important too. Literally, the Hebrew says, the waters of quietness. Now remember, Palestine doesn't have a lot of lush meadows because they don't have a very wet climate. Israel's very rocky and dry and a hot, barren land. And between March and October, there's virtually no rain. So the heat scorches the grass and the water holes dry up and sheep have to be fed and they have to be led to sources of water. This is the context in which David wrote Psalm 23. But he knew that every good shepherd knows how important it is to lead sheep to places of rest, because without that guidance, they won't rest. They won't find good grass, they'll go to the goat grass. They won't find clean water. And the waters have to be quiet because sheep won't drink from the turbulent stream. Sheep are afraid of drowning. The only way to drink is when the water is quiet and still. Doesn't that remind us of life? The symphony of life. Life is like a symphony. There are moments of music, but there are moments of silence. And a symphony consists of sounds followed by pauses. Friends, where might you find green pastures and quiet waters? Maybe in the embrace of a spouse or a partner. Maybe in the unconditional love of a friend. Maybe through compassionate care that a family member has given to you. And just maybe you find green waters, green pastures and still waters, in the acceptance of a faith community who doesn't just tolerate who you are, but celebrates who you are. Getting out of life, even so, this question of Dr. Ryan, means that we truly make choices that we are in control of, such as how we deal with the various hiccups of life, and how we remain founded on the belief that God is our loving shepherd to lead us, to guide us, to love us through all of life, good and bad, joy and grief. There's another translation of Psalm 23 by Robert Alter. I invite you to listen and sense God's closeness. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. In grass meadows, God makes me lie down. By quiet waters, God guides me. My life, God brings back. God leads me on pathways of justice for God's name's sake. There's a story in the deep jungles of Africa. A traveler was making a long trek. He had engaged the natives from a certain tribe to carry all his loads. Well, the first day they marched rapidly and they went very, very far, much farther than he anticipated. So the traveler had high hopes that the journey could be completed quicker than he thought. But the next morning these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason they just sat and ate and drank and rested. When he asked the leader of this tribe why they would not get up and go to work, he said, "Because we went too fast yesterday, we're now waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies." Friends, your pastor needs to hear this probably more than any in this room. But sometimes we need to slow down and allow our souls to catch up, so that our restored life can begin again and anew. And I think it's especially important for us to remember in this hectic and chaotic, fast-paced world of ours. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the New Song of the Bluegrass concert and I inadvertently left my phone at home on the way to the concert with shaking hands. I couldn't go back and get it because I had promised Steve I would MC the event for him and I had to get there. But when we got in the car after the concert, I said to Bryn, "Wow, that felt good." In Psalm 23, when we get to verse 4, did you ever notice how the psalmist shifts from talking about God to talking to God? About God's protection, about God's restoration, to speaking directly to God as a trusted friend. Continuing Alter's translation, "Though I walk in the veil of death's shadow, I fear no harm, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, it is they that console me. You set out a table before me in the face of my foes. You moisten my head with oil. My cup overflows. There is so much richness here. Where do I start? First, it's obvious, isn't it, that we are not expected to be isolated from difficulty, contrary to messages that we hear on the airwaves. Listen, friends, being faithful to God's vision and living the best life you can will not ensure that you'll be kept away from illness or financial challenge or relationship issues. Being faithful means that we understand God is with us during these times, so we should not fear that we're alone. And this abundance is evident in terms the ancient community would have understood. The physical elements of a happy life. A table laid out with good things. A head of hair rubbed well with olive oil. And an overflowing cup of wine. Come to think of it, that sounds pretty good. The point is that although we face difficulty, although there will be challenges, for the respite we find in God, we also find partnership for the journey. God does not shy away from being present with us as we advocate for the least among us. Society might deem us irrelevant. Culture might discount our efforts to spread the good news of God's inclusive love and amazing grace. But in the words of the psalmist, we are assured that we have a personal relationship with God who continues to shepherd us on the journey. Listen, sometimes somewhere, when we least expect it, trouble will rear its head and confront and challenge every single one of us, and not just one time in our life. The psalmist did not say, I will meet no evil. He said, I will fear no evil. So the question is not, friends, will trouble come to me or you? It will. The question is, how will we respond to the troubled waters of life? How do we as Christians deal with problems and burdens and heartaches and broken dreams? And how will bluegrass respond when we're met with resistance or disappointment? Alter finishes the translation, let but goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for many days. When the Hebrew is broken down from the traditional translation of forever, we can envision an interpretation which continues with the first part of the verse, all the days of my life. In other words, the prayer of the psalmist is that he will live a life of goodness and kindness all his born days, with a desire to abide in God's sanctuary, which is a place of security and harmony with others. And so, friends, I'm not sure how the book's going to reflect on these questions. But for this question, and did you enjoy your life even so? Life even so, I believe, can be full. And even in the most difficult stretches, when we lean on the promise of God's goodness and mercy, of God's presence and love, we can indeed make the most of this precious gift. What a gift. Precious gift of life. Back in my teen years, I sang a song, one of two favorites of my mom. The song reminds us that even when life gets difficult, even when faith gets questioned, choosing to live a life founded on God's presence is worth it. And God is with us on the mountain. And God is with us in the valley. My brothers and sisters, whether you are here this morning on the mountain of joy or on the valley of challenge or somewhere in between, God is God is God. And so as we conclude our reflection of Dr. Ryan's questions, and as we ask, are we getting out of life even so? I'd like to share this song with you as the initial request of some of our members. So, Mama, you love this song, and I've counted on its words a lot during my life.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known.
But then things change and you get down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. God is the light, for the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley, in our trials and temptations.
Now listen,
that's when faith is really put to the test.
Sing with us.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. God is the light, for the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night.
Amen. Amen.